League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to what I'm sure is going to be quite an emotional Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast today. Yes, friends, as you may have seen on social media last night, Tuesday night, we're going to say goodbye to one of our own today, and it's going to be emotional. It's going to hit you right in the feels and hopefully also in the funny bone. I am Mark Heath. I'm your host, and with me for the last time ever, my three best friends. I'm going to start with Rossi because you're looking very sharp, Rossi, the prospect. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you. For the listeners, I've got a fresh trim. That's why I'm looking sharp. Yeah, it's going to be emotional. I've probably grown, I'm still maybe not grown up, but when I first probably met Hutchie, I was still, yeah, kid. But now I've grown into a man, I think. I'll let Andy answer that. But yeah.
That's lovely. That's very nice. Rossi, before we get on to the business in hand, you've got some good content lined up, haven't you? Can you just preview it, because we're going to do the show in a slightly different way today. So stuff that's coming up, I want to talk about now. So you've got a series of interviews. Who's coming up on Sunday?
I think they're good, but we'll find out if listeners and watchers think they're good. Mickey Stockwell, although he doesn't like to be called Mickey, so it's Mick Stockwell. I need to remind people that when I said Mickey, he wasn't really happy. So Mick Stockwell, 600 plus games for Town, which is just incredible. So a good chat with him. So, yeah, in pictures, Mick Stockwell.
And you're also working on loan reviews as well, aren't you, of some of the kind of the players actually played out on loan that are going to be coming back, a little bit of insight into how they did. So look out for those. Mickey Stockwell, 6 a.m. Mick. Right then, friends. Sorry, Mick Stockwell. He's always Mickey, isn't he? Anyway, I've been confused. Right then, friends, this is the last time I'm ever going to say this. Next up, it's the Wet Bandits. It's Stewski and Hutch. It's Thunder and Lightning. It's the dynamic duo. It's Watto and Warren. Stewie, are you emotionally prepared for today?
Yeah, I am now. Yeah, I've got. Yeah, it's taken a bit of processing. I've gone through the range of emotions. We've had shock, anger, denial. Now we're at acceptance. So I'm ready.
I'd say that's where I am as well. Anger, denial, acceptance. Hutchie, what have you got to say for yourself?
The Watson anger period was an insight I hadn't seen into him before. Yeah, that was a new side to him. Sorry, mate.
But you better tell everyone, actually, because I'm just assuming everyone's already seen the news on Twitter, but obviously there's a lot of people listening to this on Twitter. So what is your news, Hutchie? Share it with us, you Judas.
my news. This is my last pod. I've written my last article, which was 101 Ipswich Town goals ranked from worst to first, which felt fitting because yeah, I'm moving on. I'm going to go and work for the football club from next month onwards, and 6 wonderful seasons of this is coming to an end, sadly. And it's made Stu very angry, but he's all right now.
I went through a period of just not actually wanting to talk about it, Hutchie, in the denial phase. I thought if I ignored it and didn't think about it, it wouldn't happen. But unfortunately, it is. And apparently I was told I can't set your notice period at 15 years, which is something I've tried to do retrospectively. But apparently that's not allowed. HR, the spoil sports that they are. Right then, friends. So obviously today we're going to do a farewell pod to Hutchie. It's going to be quite self-indulgent, so bear with us. But hopefully you'll enjoy looking back over Hutchie's time with the Kings of Anglia, with the EADT. And we're going to reflect on some of his finest moments. And Hutchie, obviously you've been with us. Excuse me. When did you join us? 2017. You joined us, didn't you?
Yeah. There was I had a brief period prior where probably nobody ever even knew I was there. For the 2015-16 season, but yeah, back in meaning business from 2017-18 season onwards.
Yeah. And we poached you from a big club, actually, the Mail. We got you back to your hometown club. And I was looking, because I've got loads of pictures I keep on my phone of various things that we've done over the years. And I was looking, I wondered what the earliest picture I could find of you was. So I went back through my phone, Andy. And obviously, this is going to be quite a visual podcast today, friends. So if you are just listening, you might want to consider watching the video as well. We'll try and describe what's going on. Anyway, I went back through my phone, Hutchie, and I found a picture of you on your first day with us, which I was surprised I even had, to be honest. I can't remember taking it. But there we go. I'll bring it up now. There you are.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so there you are. I think that's a picture of you in Radio 4, which, again, I can't remember being at. But there we go. For people just listening, that is Andy's lookalike, Sue Perkins.
Which, if I haven't got my glasses on at the moment, so you might not see it right now. But yeah. And I'm a bit chunkier now than Sue has ever been. But yeah, if I put my glasses on 5 years ago, I look like Sue Perkins.
Anyway, obviously that wasn't actually you on your first day.
Beautiful earliest, woman.
Absolutely. An excellent presenter, I must say. The earliest picture I think I've actually found was via your work husband, Stuart, the Dr. Watson. And boys, obviously, as I show these pictures, jump in with your memories and stuff. Which is this one. And this, friend, so this is a picture of Stu and Andy on the roof of the old Archant building. This is when we used to film bits for Facebook previews, actually standing on the roof with Portman Road behind us, which we thought was pretty nifty. And this is kind of the start, I guess, of the journey towards the podcast, was you two kind of building your chemistry. Back in the day, I used to be behind the camera, I recall. I don't know if this is before Rossi signed full-time for us. Stewie, Hutchie, do you remember these days? Heady days these were?
I think we broke every health and safety rule going to do that. I think we had to steal the key from the janitor, essentially, to go up what was a glorified loft ladder to get up onto the roof of that building. It was worth it for that view, though.
There was so much, like, there was always some stuff up there. Like, I don't know how, but, like, there were, like, chicken bones up there. And there was always something on that roof that shouldn't have been there. But we filmed stuff. That office was a gold mine, wasn't it? We're on the roof there, filmed stuff in the shower. We used to set up the boot room was born in.
We should clarify when you say filmed stuff in the shower.
Yeah, that never got released, that stuff. The boot room was born in the shower, essentially.
In the shower room. Yeah,
in that office. When we had an office and didn't work from home in this glorious setup, but it was a gold mine in there, proper studio building.
Do you remember? I remember most from those days on the roof. Is it got to a point where people knew we were doing it in the surrounding buildings, and we used to have people start waving at us. And then they'd send us messages saying, I can see you recording your preview on the roof. That was really bizarre. And I can only assume chicken bones were there, actually, because of the seagulls. I reckon that's what.
Well, I've got suspicions that other members of staff, one of whom no longer works for the company and listens to the show quite regularly.
Okay.
And whose logo is somewhere on one of our persons, was eating some lunch up there. That's my suspicion. I won't mention
sneaking onto
names.
The roof for a cheeky KFC.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What is he like? Right, Hutchie,
it'd
next
be great
up.
Now to have that roof. We could have been giving everyone the updates of the pitch, couldn't we? If we had that now.
Obviously, it was extremely convenient from our point of view, but also having that backdrop to film stuff, although clearly the wind and the rain, etc., made things difficult at times. It's something that I wish we had now. And it would have been great actually on the day they were promoted, wouldn't it, to have that as a backdrop. But there we go. Friend, the next one I've got is a picture, I think, from the summer of 2018. It's just before, it's on the way to the kind of full podcast team as it is now. It's just before I joined, I think. And it was during the World Cup, Hutchie, and there was a diktat went out that we weren't doing enough about the World Cup when England were surprisingly doing quite well. And so we had to jump on board, and this happened. That, friends, is a picture of us. We were told we had to come in wearing waistcoats. Obviously, Gareth Southgate made waistcoats popular in that particular World Cup. So we all came in one day. We overcompensated from being told off for not doing enough about the World Cup. We foolishly thought people were more interested in Ipswich Town. And that's what we're there for. But anyway, it's a previous regime. So we jumped on board. We went two-footed in and we all came in wearing waistcoats. So there we've got myself, a noted waistcoat wearer back in the day. I was actually doing it before Southgate. We got Mr. Bacon, formerly of this parish, who looks like a sort of magician from the 1980s. And we've got Hutchie, who's given it the full waistcoat. And also, we're all there giving it, this is pre-Ross, giving it the fisticuffs, the fists up. Do you remember anything of this period, Hutchie?
I remember that Harry Kane poster that was behind your desk, wasn't it? On a very, very red wall that just accumulated junk, essentially. Yeah, stick that on the wall. Where's one of those cut-out eyes Paul Hurst masks? Stick that on the wall. It all ended up on that red wall, didn't it? Which I had to look at all day, and I think has done something to my vision, kind of long term. It was too vibrant.
It was pretty vibrant. I mean, Mickey Bacon there, he really does look like he'd call himself the great vibrato or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, like, kind of. It tip up on this morning, like do a little segment on this morning, like claiming he could bend a spoon or something. He's intense, isn't he? Look at him.
Absolutely. Right then, friends. So from this point on, this is when we were doing like Facebook Lives, which was the buzzword at the time. We had to do loads of Facebook Lives, and we sat in the what was the meeting room in the old office, friends, if you remember that. And we used to do Facebook Lives like about 14 times a day, it felt like. We did a big World Cup one that day, I remember. But generally speaking, we were doing Ipswich Town Facebook Lives. And from there, you and Stu were already doing the Kings of Anglia podcast. Was it called Kings of Anglia at that point, Hutchie? Can you remember?
What was it called?
I can't remember. There was a Sleeping Giants.
The Sleeping Giants. There was an Ipswich Town Insights period.
That's a terrible name. That's a really poor, really, really poor name.
And then there was a period where you two were sort of doing it when we worked on when we all worked on a Sunday. You used to come in and do a podcast. You used to disappear off into the meeting room with your phone and do a little podcast on a Sunday, didn't you? I don't remember if it was called the Kings of Anglia then, but from these Facebook lives, yeah.
Do you want to know? I've just gone on our podcast hosting portal. Do you want to know the date of the very first Kings of Anglia episode 1? November the 19th, 2017.
Wow. So you did that whole kind of 2017-18 season, and then I came on board in the summer, I remember, as a kind of show off, essentially. And then this is going to bring up the first video, because I found that I was going through all my old stuff, boys, and I found this video from the early days of the podcast, which I'm going to play now.
Do you remember what I said to you in the car about the video that I'd do if Ipswich managed to stay up?
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, we get this promise on air. So people have pointed out rightly that Andy looked like he did the video topless.
Yeah.
And I relayed this to him while he was driving, and he said, if they stay up, I will actually do one topless.
For real?
Well,
that's out there now.
Well, what will happen is, if they manage to stay up, I'll put the poll out there. Do you want me to do it topless?
Yeah. Is there an appetite?
If there's an appetite, I'll do it.
This is a bit like the Lineker. I'll do it in my pants if Leicester win the league, isn't it? Similar kind of standing.
What odds are Ipswich now to stay up? It's probably not 5,000 to 1, is it?
I'm going to raise your stakes. Oh. If Ipswich stay up, I'll do it stark bollock naked. There you go.
Well, it's weird. So we're going to do this at the same time. I'm going to keep my trousers on.
You're going to be naked.
Yeah.
Why don't you do it bottomless?
People are like screaming now. I really hope they go down.
So you heard it here first. If Town do the unthinkable, pull off the greatest single escape from relegation in Championship history, Stuart Steve Watson will do a video stark bollock naked.
Nobody wants that.
What kind of video?
What kind of video?
Our post-match verdict things. Oh, right. Still so standing with the microphone.
So if they stay up on the final day against Leeds,
yeah.
It's just going to be a naked... The video will just be done naked. Is that video?
Amongst the Leeds fans.
Yeah.
There we go, friends. My first take from that is the audio quality was appalling, because we were just basically recording that on an iPhone in a smallest room we could find. And also, I'd forgotten, Stu, that at one time your nickname was Steve because of the Paul Lambert era. But that was basically what we did around that, because obviously, clearly, the first season that we all did the podcast, Ipswich Town were terrible. That was the season they went down, wasn't it? Under Paul Hurst. So we're basically trying to do things to amuse ourselves. And I remember back in the day in that season, we didn't really talk a lot about football. We spent times talking about things like our favourite crisps, still available, by the way, friends. The only ever Kings of Anglia extra time special, still one of the most listened to things we've ever done. Go and find that now. Do you remember that particular podcast, Stewie, Andy? Those bold proclamations, that wonderful nude top. Hutchie, have you still got that?
Yeah, I've still my hair. If that was a describe, where were we? And that was that. What ground was that? Accrington, which probably seems fitting. Yeah, I'm glad they went down. That was that would have been horrendous, wouldn't it? Absolutely horrendous. I don't know if me and Stu's friendship would have survived a naked video.
I think that is really that's the testing point, isn't it, of any friendship. Can you film naked together? I know it is for me anyway. Rossi, you obviously put that teaser together. So you were part of the team by then. What were your first memories, kind of impressions of Hutchie at the time? Obviously, you thought he was a fecking legend straight away, I'd imagine.
I'm more worried about what he thought of me. I think we actually did do a podcast, like 10 questions with Andy. I think I was questioning him and his first impressions of me. I was shy then, weren't I? I was really shy. I was like, you were the big dogs, and I was just there to like, do you want any help with anything? Like, we're going to film anything. Can we film a video, please? Please? Well, a lot's changed since then, bloody hell. But no, I know you guys, once again, this is all about Hutchie, but you guys just helped me a lot back then. And I know Hutchie was definitely well up for doing content. And yeah, he was very helpful in those early days.
When you were a boy.
I was a boy.
And he was a young whippersnapper. You were, though, Ross. Back in the day, you were scared to talk to anyone. I remember the first kind of initial things we wanted to get you to do was like get the fan reaction. And you basically said, I don't want to talk to any fans. It's not really me, you said. And now look at you, bloody Mr. Showman. He's got your own mic routine and everything.
Got his gold jacket, his bow tie, his own mic routine. And can, exactly. And can't move around the outside of a football ground without being swamped by his mates.
Yeah, the Ross posse. Right then. So Ross is on board. And through that connection, friends, we got a new location for the podcast. And here we go. This is the first day in the bunker, the studio we recorded in until COVID stopped everything. That's where we recorded the podcast. And this is you on the first day. I believe, Hutchie, this is you mid mailbag jingle on the first show that we did. So what are your memories of that? It's a beautiful picture, I must say. You really do enjoy singing the mailbag jingle.
A crooner. I like that little studio. It was good, wasn't it? That was too short-lived, that, because obviously COVID brought a stop to that. But that made it feel a bit proper, didn't it? We started to feel like it was a proper podcast then.
The audio quality went through the roof, obviously. Ross, that's when you kind of really joined the team, because you were the only one who knew how to do all the buttons at that point in the radio studio.
You say that. I mean, producer Ross, I do remember on at least one occasion we got quite deep into some of these podcasts and realised yeah. that the record button hadn't been hit and we had to start again.
How many times did that happen?
Yeah, at least twice. Once was like 20. One was 20 minutes. One was definitely yeah. 20 minutes in.
And Ross would just go kind of deathly white and go, oh, I don't get recording.
And I think you probably took like 5 minutes to work up the courage to tell us as well. Yeah. So we just kept going for even longer.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I also remember that studio. That's where Ross dropped the first and only C-bomb in KOA live history, which is the only time we've actually had to edit. No, I think there were two times we've had to edit things out. That was one of them. I won't mention the other one. Which then obviously the genesis from that point, boys, was we got very full of ourselves. I certainly did. And that meant this happened next. This is the poster for the first and only official Kings of Anglia Live, which we did in December 2019 at the Smokehouse, which was adjacent to the studio. And this picture, friends, is a picture taken from, I believe it's still on, it's from Google Earth. This is where we used to swan off like the big dogs we were in the morning for a breakfast meeting at McDonald's. We'd leave all the rest of the losers in the office, the news people. We'd go off to McDonald's to talk strat. And we were captured on our way there one morning, and it eventually appeared on Google Earth. It's still there, I believe. For some reason, we're all walking in completely different directions. and we kind of looks like an album cover from the kind of not the 90s. So we duly used it as a poster for the first KRA Live, sold out in 25 minutes, just saying. There we go.
Is that Theresa May in the top left?
And that's the real story. Theresa May was in the KRA Live image. And then, of course, we went on. We did KRA Live, boys. And here's the picture from it. What's happened there? That's weird. I've obviously used the wrong picture. Ross is going to be furious with me because he said, don't use images that don't fill the screen. So I'll put that down quickly. Sorry.
Hello.
That's the end of a glorious first and only ever KOA Live, boys. What are your memories of that day? I remember being told off by my wife for basically I ended up swearing like a pissed up sailor with Tourette's that day. People kept buying me red striped beers and I kept drinking them. And the F-bomb count at the end was gargantuan. As a result, I am known to swear quite a lot, which wasn't big or clever. But there's a memorable night.
You had a bit of a head start on us on the drinking front. We were making a late dash back across from the ground, having covered the game. You'd been setting up, and I think you were a few beers in by the time we arrived. There was a bit of shadow boxing before you went on stage, and we went for a sort of a post debrief curry, didn't we, afterwards? And I just remember you just, that went all right, didn't it? Was that all right? That was okay, wasn't it? That was all right.
Yeah.
And it was all right. It was great. Yeah. What a wonderful, what a fun night.
It ended with us all singing Sweet Caroline, I recall, which you later said, Hutchie, you can't stand.
I can't stand it. And that's another thing that COVID got in the way of as well, because we were well down the road planning another one, weren't we?
Before, we're going to do a bigger and better one, weren't we?
Yeah.
We had a date and everything.
Yeah. But then another C-bomb, a COVID bomb hit.
Yeah, that's coming. Don't you worry, Stu. Hutchie, we are going to talk about that, not in any great depth. But finally, before we move on to something completely different, there's something very cool that you and Stewie did, which we talked about on the pod back in the day. And that I can't remember what period this was, but you'll be able to fill me in for the time frame. That was this. This was the day you went to Portman Road. You played at Portman Road wearing the new kits. So obviously, Hutchie, you'll know what kit this is, what season this is. Yep. When was this?
That's the summer of 2019. So, just before the start of the first League One season.
When you look back at those kits now, Stewie and Hutchie and Rossi, what did you make of them? Honestly, obviously at the time we had to say they were great, but what did you make of them now?
I've got mine right in front of me on the wall. And with a picture of me and Stuart in the frame.
Oh.
That picture, in fact.
Is that when you had numbers and everything?
Yep, number 12. Yeah. Number Watson 12. 6.
Stuart, what are your memories of that day? You played a bunch of like footy freestylers, didn't you, or something, I recall?
Yeah, the Adidas F2 freestylers that are huge on YouTube and very good at football, certainly. In comparison to our ragtag bunch of media journalists and whatnot, that was hard work. Me and Andy did 45 minutes each and were absolutely blowing at the end of it.
What was it like playing on the hallowed pitch, though? It's not, obviously, that's something that not a lot of people can say they've done unless they're professional footballers.
Yeah, that was great. Very memorable. Big thank you to Lee Hyde, who was in charge of like kits and stuff and merchandise at the club at that point for inviting us. That was a little bit of a dream. We got battered though, didn't we? Was it 7-1 or something? Dan Palfrey from the club scored our goal late on. But I think if it wasn't for James Pullen, our goalkeeper, that it could have been absolutely horrendous.
And also, you say you played some football freestylers. Rossi was there. He did a kind of big behind the scenes video from the day. That was your first kind of real in-depth video, wasn't it, Ross? I remember. And part of that, Unfortunately for you, Hutchie, he captured this.
Oh.
And that he is the number. Is that Jeremy Lynch? Is that his name? He is like the number one. He is the freestyler. So that was
played in Soccer Aid, didn't he?
Yeah,
Stewie, just analyze this for me. I mean, would this qualify as Twisted Blood? Is this Twisted Blood?
Yeah, I think you probably would have to put that in that category. Yeah,
I mean, what should Hutchie have done here?
Multiple replays.
What he should have done
is absolutely just smashed him, put him straight over the advertising hoarding.
Just one more time, shall we? Just watch.
Don't
this.
Take
Look
the
this.
Piss, mate.
Hutchie, you took it in good grace, though, I must say. I would have got quite angry at that point.
That's because a few minutes earlier, I'd dispossessed that big unit bloke from The Only Way Is Essex, whose name I can't remember, but he was probably the biggest man I've ever stood next to, who's huge. What was his name?
I can't remember either, but I do remember the little tackle / interception. That was good. Yeah.
My two moments there. One terrible, Fred, one decent.
I like that. I'm not going to play it again, but we have already played it four times. Friends, so we're midway through this nostalgic look back at Hutchie's life and times with us. And I thought it'd be remiss of us on this final show with Hutchie not to feature a feature which gained life of its own and became almost bigger than the show itself. So much so that we had to do it at the first live podcast, and it still lives on. And it's presented by young prospect Ross. It was Ross is now looking nervous.
You asked me to get my jacket. I forgot it's in the other room. Can I?
Unbelievable! You had one job. I said, Ross, make sure you've got the gold jacket for the strike. You said, yep, no problem.
So can I go?
I'm going to fill Ross while you disappear. So this basically was kind of Ross's big way into the show, wasn't it? He started doing this as a weekly feature. And it gained kind of cult following because it was basically shambles every single week. And so much so that we ended up doing it on the KO Live podcast, where Ross purchased said gold jacket he's hopefully going to return with now. And Hutchie, I thought we'd do a special Hutchie's Life and Times with KOA strike today.
So we haven't done a strike in ages, have we?
No, well, the strike, it got to the point where the strike was taking like half an hour, if you remember.
Here we go. Oh, look at him. Amazing.
Ross, I'm going to hand over to you now, virtually. You are now the host. This is your segment. Over to you.
Still fits, so that's a good thing. So I'm wearing a hoodie here. Ginger Pickle, shout out. Okay then. We normally do this on the fan social, so it's still alive for the viewers and listeners out there. But yes,
have we got a Barry Cotter intro?
No.
Okay.
Rossi, you've forgotten. Come on.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my bad. My bad. I'll play it. Don't worry. I'll play it.
I said two things. I said make sure you've got the gold jacket. Make sure you've got the intro music.
Producer Ross.
Which is going to start now. Although it's not played the Hutchie words.
I mean, the Hutchie is on there, Ross. If you just let it play a little bit.
Do you want me to just do it now?
Just do it now. Just do it now.
This Hello is and welcome back. To the strike, brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Thank you for that intro, Hutchie.
Nailed that, haven't we? All of us.
Yeah, we have. We have indeed. We've got eight questions. Is that a lot?
We can expedite it, but let's roll.
We've got eight questions, plus a tiebreaker, if needed. The question is, who's going to be the winner this week? Question one is on Colin Quayner. Remember it?
Of course it is.
Vaguely.
Obviously.
Yeah. Big Quayners, yeah.
He scored in the game against Leeds, which of course we already relegated at that point. But what a game that was! What game was that? What squad number did he wear during his time at Town? Was it 42, 45, or 49?
Do we need to write something down?
Oh yeah, pen and some paper.
I was under the impression that this was going to be like a Andy themed strike. I was waiting for a load of Andy questions. But well, let's go with Colin Quayner.
I just got told to do a strike. Don't worry. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, at home, play at home as well. Let us know how you get on.
I'm ready for reveal.
Okay.
Nope. For a reveal?
Yes.
45.
It's incorrect. It's 42. I think it's 42.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure that's correct.
Archie does not get squad.
Yeah, I'm going to say
he doesn't get squad numbers wrong. I'm just going to double check while we.
This is going.
Oh yes, it is 45. It is 45.
Excellent.
Okay, we're off.
This is everything I hoped for.
Question two.
Tremendous.
Is on the pizza trophy, of course. Hutchie loved the pizza trophy. Was it the Checker Trade at first, weren't it? It was a Checker Trade.
Checker Trade, leasing.com.
Yes.
Then no one sponsored it. Then pizza.
Auto windscreen shields to me.
LDV vans.
Got some paint. But yeah, question two is on who scored Town's first goal in the pizza trophy, or whatever it was back then. Was it Jordan Roberts, Emir Hughes, or Will Keane? It was a 2-1 win over Spurs on the 21s at Portland Road.
Heady days.
Sadly, never got the chance to go to Wembley, did we, in that trophy? Just every time we just bottled it, just lost. Beaten by Arsenal on the 21s, West Ham on the 21s. Ridiculous. Scores, of course, is 1-1-1. Despite me getting the answer for question one. So Hughes.
I've got it wrong. I say J Rob. I can't remember.
It's Jordan Roberts. He scored a brace that evening. And that is correct because I have to just double check. So 2-1-1. So he's in the lead going into question three. And sadly, Barry Cotter didn't feature in this strike in terms of his voice or his face, but he does have a question. Because he scored, of course, that winning penalty against Peterborough in the trophy. What was his squad number during his time at Town? 28, 37 or 42? I'm just going to double check the answer, just in case. But I should know this because, you know, he's my boy. That's
given you thought 42 was the right answer to the first question, you then recycled it in the third question.
That could be one of the reasons why I thought maybe the answer was 42, because I know there's another option. Don't know if that gives that away, maybe.
Well, it kind of does.
37.
Mark.
I'm going to say 42 again.
Correct answer. And of course, he's got it right. It is 37. So Hutchie does get a point. So 2-2-1. There we go. Question four. He's on a man that Hutchie and Stu would have spent a lot of time with. And that is Paul Lambert, sadly. How many games did he win for Town in 113 matches? Closest to the correct answer gets the point. If you get it bang on, you get 2 points.
Oh, man.
So, 113 games. How many wins? Short and tight time. It's been a period where we scored, won a lot of games in that first league one season.
Yeah.
Second league one season. But then, some other not good games.
I don't know if this is too low, but I'm going with it.
I think that's too high.
Okay.
But I'm going with it.
You see mine?
Is that 28?
28.
Okay, 53, 51. No one's got it bang on. The correct answer is 37.
Oh.
So
I win.
You win. You're closest. So now a point for you.
That's rubbish, isn't it?
Not great.
Yeah, I thought I was going too low, but obviously I did actually go too low, but that is not a good record, is it?
Yeah. 28 draws, bad. 48 defeats, 32.7 win percentage, so not too good. From one Paul to another, Paul Cook.
Yes.
The question on him is, what is his middle name? Is it Andrew, Anthony or Alistair?
Well, Aliaster, as you've written it there.
Oh, My bad.
I mean, I'm assuming the boys know this. I'm just guessing.
I don't know this.
Okay. Anthony. Yeah, all Anthony. Correct. You're all correct.
What's
question
the score,
six.
Ross? What's the score? Just hold on. What's the score there?
4-3-2
Yeah.
Formation?
Yeah.
Somewhat formation. That's not formation.
If you've had a man sent off.
Yes, there we go. Question six is on how many different players scored the 260 goals during the four seasons in League One? Once again, closest to the correct answer gets the point. If you get it bang on, you get 2 points. I'm just going to write down the scores because I'm going to forget. I know I am.
How many different players scored during Town's time in League One? So 260 goals scored, yeah. This we're just talking league goals.
Yes. Yes, league goals, yeah. League goals, yeah. League goals, yeah. Yeah. League goals. Do you know what? This is more like relaxing on the fan social because I've got the big dogs. I'm flustered.
It's very kind of you to say.
To be fair, on the fan social, the strike is a shambles as well, so actually it doesn't matter.
Too low? I think I might have gone too low again, but I'm going to go with it.
Okay. I took this from, I don't know who did the story. I think it would have been you, Hutchie, actually, who would have written the story for this.
I can't remember. I can't remember it. That was two weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. 65.
Wow.
Let's do 38. 25.
I've gone 25, which seems really low.
65 is a lot as well. 38's not too bad. And Hutchie is the closest because it is 44 different players. 24. So it's 4-2. That's a formation. There we go. Nailed it. Question seven. This season, I think we're going to bring it up later. We went to Bracknell Town, Bottom Meadow, which was an interesting ground. I never thought we'd ever see Ipswich Town side go to a non-league team. What tier was that? Seventh tier or eighth tier, ninth tier?
Step seven, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. Wings and tings and all that. But what was the capacity of Bracknell Town? Once again, closest to the closest gets the point.
I should know this because I did a story about this.
Sold out.
Yeah.
That's a great evening. I enjoyed that.
Are we talking about the accepted capacity or how many fans got in that night?
Just the normal.
The normal.
What you can find on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. 1,200. Stu, 300?
I think I've said 300. And Hutchie said 3,000.
Only 300? No, this is the whole capacity.
What am I talking about? What am I talking about? An absolute mare there. I remember exactly what it is now. Anyway.
It's 1,950.
Oh.
So Stu's the closest.
Stu wins.
Stu wins that.
I'd just like to apologise to Kane SB and everyone associated with Bracknell, who we spent quite a lot of time talking to.
So it's 4-4-3 now, going into the final question. So a chance for Stu to take it to a tiebreaker or Hutchie or Heafy to win it. And it is closest to the correct answer. In total, Town played 174 league matches during their stay in League One. How many were wins?
I mean, again, this stat featured in Hutchie's recent thing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's a stat, man. You have to think.
How many?
Of course, if you get it bang on, Stu, you could win it. You could win it here.
Bloody love it if I win it now.
We are still going to use a tiebreaker, because why not? Because why not?
Because you have to.
Why not?
So, yeah.
How many matches did they win in League One out of 174 games?
That's the question, Mark.
I know. I'm just. I'm hoping it will jar my.
I can't remember what I wrote.
I'm gonna say that. That's what I'm gonna put.
Okay. Ready? steady, go. 89, 65, 69. Very nice. The correct answer does end with 9, but it's 79.
Oh.
So.
What did you put, Hutchie?
89.
Ah, oh, you win then.
Well, it means you get a point each, don't
you? Of course, yeah. Tie, yeah. Absolutely.
Which means you can do a tie break for the second place, which means we get Ross's tie break question.
Yes.
So has Hutchie won, just to clarify? So
Hutchie has won overall, but as we do on the fan social, are you going to gamble, Andy? Are you going to gamble?
Ooh. He's won. So,
no. No.
It's a big
But for the sportsmanship,
worst
and
game,
you know.
Show host ever.
I've won, but would I like to give my opponents
a chance
out of the goodness of my heart an extra chance? No.
So we need to do a tiebreaker to decide who gets first loser place.
No, I'm going to gamble. Of course I'm going to gamble.
They have to get it bang on to win, though.
Okay.
So this question, they've got to get the answer bang on to win. If they don't, if they're closest, they don't win. It's just still win. So... and of course, I thought we had to end with a tiebreaker with a man that has been part of this journey and part of just, I think, one of Hutchie's favourite players. Junoy Danasian has made 123 Town appearances without scoring. But how many assists has he made?
Ooh.
So, yeah, 123 Town appearances, no goals. We thought he was going to score at some stage, a winning goal. Maybe the championship. No, he's waiting for the championship, maybe. Do you know what Danasian? Danaissance, of course.
Hutchie came up with that.
Copyright. Trademark. Right.
I've got my answer.
Okay. 8 by Stu. 9 by Heafy. 7 by Hutchie.
We've gone very close.
Somebody has got it bang on. And that man is... Got to check. Mm-hmm. It is Heafy. It's 9.
Gracious.
Understated celebrations.
Yeah. So speech, Heafy, you've won. You've
come on. Let's crack on. There's
I'd
no.
Like to thank, yeah, I'd like on. To thank my family. My friend. No. So Hutchie technically won the last ever strike.
Yeah, technically won, but
really,
you stole
did
it.
Actually win. Okay, yeah. Superb. Outro, Rossi?
Barry Cotter couldn't be with us tonight, but we were joined by Paul Lambert, Paul Cook, and Paul Hurst. Not really. thanks for listening to another strike. Andy Warren, it's been a pleasure for you to be a competitor on it, a contestant. See you next time.
There we go. How do you feel about that, Hutchie? The last time you'll ever take part in a strike? I imagine you're pretty choked up right now.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that to hit me today.
You're reconsidering now, aren't you?
Yeah. It's a shambolic game show, that. Absolutely shambolic.
I mean, I don't know. That could not have gone better / worse as an example of the genre that you invented, Ross. Forgetting the jacket, getting the first question wrong, forgetting you had the intro music. Superb. Right, friends, let's move on. This next section, Hutchie, is what I'm calling loosely fan art. Because as we started talking about stuff on the show, we had people create things around what we're talking about. So I've kept a few of my favourite, and I'm going to show you them now. This one, I loved. Remember this? This, I believe, Hutchie, this is when you revealed you were writing a detective series featuring Scoose and Chambo. And I can't remember who did this. I think it might have been Patrick Palmer, who's responsible for quite a lot of these. We've not heard from him for a while. So I hope you're doing well, Patrick. But is this still in production, Hutchie, this show? Because I'd watch it.
I did write a couple of chapters, but I just wasn't happy with it. The pilot just didn't work.
That is a shame.
And that's all I can really say. It began with Luke kind of waking up in a bit of a haze after a busy night on the N64. and realizing that he needed to do something with his life. That was how it started. But I didn't really get anywhere.
Could, of course, launch it now. Now they've been released by Cole Yew. I know Cole's got a job at Bury, but I'm sure there's time to do a little bit of freelance detectoring on the side, maybe.
They could catch the wet bandits.
They could. Obviously, Stuart, you did a chat with Cole Skews. I'm assuming you didn't ask him about the detective series, but that is available to watch now, friends, if you want to go to our website and the app. Good long chat with Cole Skews. Ryan Hutchie, this next one I liked because it features this. Wrestling. I believe this is around the time that James Norwood and The Rock were best mates. We talked about what our kind of finishing moves would be. I think this is Patrick came up with this. You said you'd be something related to Jake the Snake Roberts, which is why you're in the center of the ring with a snake. And then we've got myself, Stewie, looking probably like he does now, buff, like Stone Cold. And Rossi, with the side-on image, as he always is, looking to tag in. I think that's Andre the Giant, Ross. You'll be able to tell me that on the outside. He's a big man.
Yes.
So, yeah, do you any memories of that, Hutchie, being a wrestler?
Can I just say no? I've got no memories of that whatsoever. Okay. I like that I'm holding a snake, though. Is that legal?
Again, I mean, I did actually once interview Jake the Snake Roberts. He was one of the nicest men I've ever chatted to. If I'm right, Rossi, his snake used to bite people, didn't it? As part of the shtick.
Yeah, but like not properly, if you know what I mean, because that's like some snakes are venomous, aren't they? So
they are.
Yeah. So they could kill a man.
Famously, snakes are venomous, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, he was an interesting character, Jake the Snake Roberts. But I think that's a Royal Rumble, actually. I think that was a Royal Rumble, not actually like a tag match. So I think Andre Giant's just been eliminated. In the backdrop there.
Outrageous. Yeah. Jake Roberts called me brother the whole way through the interview. There's next to animal themed as well, Hutchie. This one I'm calling the Deer Hunter.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. This, I believe, is when you murdered a sentient animal on the way back from a game.
That was a low point. That was on the way home from Oxford, which was a low point in itself, I believe, the game on a Tuesday. And then that poor little animal stood no chance in the middle of the A12 near Colchester.
I just love
its head hit the windscreen on the way over the top.
What I love most about this is the way he's kind of shrunk your heads to fit the windscreen of the car. It does look like you're actually having a chat in the car.
Why has Paul Lambert's head been put onto the deer's body? Is that the night where Paul had his unbelievable negativity rant?
Yeah,
it might have been.
Yeah,
that was then. I like that whoever made that has got me in the on the driving side. It's just accurate. I was details. Driving.
Details.
It's all about life is about small details. Get them right and you're flying. Right. And whoever makes that is on the road to success.
The next one is one of my favourite creations that people came up with. This is when we were talking about what we'd have done if we weren't journalists. And Hutchie, this came about from this. I think you said you'd be a trout farmer. And that's why this image happened.
That wasn't like my ambition. That you know when you did that, it was when you did those tests at school and it kind of chucked out a suggested career path. That's what it gave me. Trout farmer. I went in a different direction.
Could have been a different life.
Turned away from the money and the women and everything that comes with trout farming. And I've ended up with what I've got, and I'm okay with that. It's all right.
What kind of answers were you giving to the questions to get trout farmer as a suggested career?
Who knows, mate? You could take from that I maybe wasn't taking the quiz seriously. Maybe.
That doesn't sound like you. Right then, final one of the fan art section, friends. This is something that I delight in. We share every single week. It's become part of the culture of KOA. And some maybe say this is hyperbole, but I think it's become iconic. And that's this one.
Gets me every time.
So this is the famous.
Every single time.
This is the famous Friday image we share every week. Well, I share every week. This is this actually Hutch tackling La Beast? Is this La Beast?
Yeah. He's dead behind the eyes.
You demolished that ridiculously easy, didn't you, actually?
But from, it was from a massive letdown.
From this great image, a great meme was born. I believe it's from ITFC memes. And I share it Friday because it makes me laugh and people like it. It feels like the end of week vibes. So there we go. What are you, how do you feel about this? Because every time I tweet this now, Hutchie, you reply FFS. How do you feel about being attached to this?
I really like it. It anchors me. It keeps me grounded. It reminds me that it's Friday.
Would you still like us to do it after you've gone?
That's up to you. I'm not going to stop you.
I think I might.
It's yours. It's not mine. It's not mine to use. It's Stu's picture, and he's got a few more of them as well. He quite likes taking pictures of me eating.
Yeah, Stu's dropping quite a few of these recently. right, then, friends.
Service stations are undoubtedly our low points. That when we're coming back from places at stupid hours, sitting in soulless empty service station, it just it's for my own amusement. And if it brings some joy to others, then you're welcome. I might print that off and put it up in a frame.
Definitely
brings joy. Fittingly, when I told Stu about this exit, I was eating one of them at that moment.
La Beast?
No, I've never go. That's a complete letdown. La Beast, absolute joke, really. All that hype, and it's just not. They're just squeezing an extra £3 out of you for no reason. It's just a standard burrito.
Right then, now, friends,
move on.
We move into a difficult period of time, which is called COVID. Which shut down the studio, it shut down the KOA team. And for a while, we were recording this podcast. This is how it came to be recorded remotely. We started by recording it on Teams, I believe, which birthed this great moment in KOA history.
Now, another legend of Ipswich Town up next, Patrick Kisnobo.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Is that how you say that? No?
Kisnobo.
Kisnobo.
There's quite clearly an R in there.
Oh. How'd you say it?
Kisnobo. Kisnobo.
Oh, Norbo. Oh. Yay.
There we go. So, I think I was recording that in my conservatory, which is a sweatbox. Stu, I think you're in the same room. Rossi, are you in the same scenario? And Andy, you're actually in the same room, but it was much barer.
Yeah. When it became evident that we were going to be here for a while, I thought she'd put some stuff up on the wall. So I did. Those were the days, eh? The shadowy arching figures then decided, because we were recording the podcast on Teams, then at some point the shadowy arching figures just said, nah, can't record stuff on there anymore. But they tried to shut us down for a week, didn't they? But we fought back.
Yeah, we found a different way of doing it. And then obviously over that period, Stewie, Mickey, Rossi all went off on furlough. We had a lockdown summer, actually, where we were recording a two-man pod every week. And it turned out at the end of it, I hadn't actually been plugging my mic in the entire time, professional to the end. And we basically, that was the time where there was no video way of recording it. So we basically recorded it down the phone line so we could actually see each other. What are your memories of those while I bring up the next image?
Yeah, weirdly, COVID is probably the thing is the thing I look back on most from doing this, because it kept me busy, which I needed. Eventually, we were able to go out to games, which I think Stu would agree kind of kept a bit of sanity. Felt incredibly fortunate to be able to do that. And very fortunate to be able to mess about on a football podcast during COVID. A bit of a blessing, really. It was really, really important.
Yeah, we tried to keep things normal, didn't we? I remember one of them, we did a watch back of the 2000 playoff final, which I think if you went back and listened to now, it was slightly shambolic audio-wise, certainly. Anyway, we got through that, friends, and then we all went to Dartford. Again, Ross, I'm sorry. I forgot this image doesn't fit the screen. This is the first game back. It was Dartford, wasn't it? we were at.
Mm.
Memories of that day, boys? The first time there'd been any Town fans at a game, I guess, since the Portsmouth game. There were a few fans at, and Burton, before they shut it all down again, and then there were no fans. So this was the first time that fans had been back in their numbers in a stadium for the first pre-season game of that season at Dartford.
I remember looking at that picture. You can see Andy is to my left. To my right, a few couple down, is I think it was Jacob Henderson from the media team. And I ended up getting, you know, it was the time where you had to kind of notify if you'd been in contact with someone that got COVID. By virtue of me sitting in that chair and not in Andy's one, when I had to stay at home for the next game. I think they went to Bury or somewhere like that for the next match. But, that was a weird time when you got pinged and you got notifications to say you've been in contact, stay at home.
You can see in that picture as well, me using my coat as a little light box shield gaming. For a fashioned kind of a little water cover. Because I remember quite vividly watching former colleague Carl Marston drown his laptop in the rain at a game previously. He just left it out in the rain and went inside and did an interview and was shocked to come back and find that it no longer worked. Take your laptop inside in the rain is my advice.
That's the message. Right, then let's zoom through a few more of these because there's a few more I want to get through before we do the big finale. You became attached to a few things, Hutchie, while in your time with us, and one of them was the pizza trophy, which resulted in this.
Wow!
So this is when friend of the show number one, Daryl Jones, sent you a pizza to a game captured by Stewie here, and one of the times I've seen you happiest in your life with us. Anyway, what was it? Do you remember what pizza he sent you?
I think it was pepperoni, Stu. I think
so, yeah.
What a lovely, kind... That's why you're friend of the show number one, Daryl. What a kind thing to do. Slightly embarrassing, I won't lie. Having someone come into the press room and tell you at a place that is not your place of work that a pizza has been delivered to reception. Can, in some people's eyes, make you look a bit of a tit. However, we had the last laugh because we had a lovely little bit of pizza in the Papa John's.
Another thing you became attached to, Hutchie, for a time when we were grasping onto things as a kind of town fan base, anything that brought good luck to the side. And for a period there, it appeared to be linked to what you were wearing on your feet. I'm thinking, are these the right shoes? Or are these the wrong shoes? Are these just the ones that Stu hated?
Both, I think.
Yeah. This is when you went through a period of wearing them and Tam were winning or not losing anyway, I remember.
Yeah, I like that. I've still got them. I'll wear them again soon, I think. I like them. Stu didn't like them. Not many people liked them, but they for a small period, they did the business.
Okay. Right. Few more pictures, and this is basically to wrap it up now, because obviously there's one relationship above all other that has become a trademark on this show, and that is the Wet Bandits. Only recently crowned the Wet Bandits, but most of the time called other things. Here we go. The boys. Where's this, Stewie?
That's at Shrewsbury, as the badge in the middle suggests. Best seats in the house. That's a good little spot for our post-match video.
Was it a good seat?
Yeah, decent.
Comfy?
Yeah, they were like the Excellent. Ones you get in the dugout. Yeah.
Superb. Next up, what's going on here, Hutchie? Is this
Plymouth? Yeah, that's Plymouth. I couldn't tell you what's happening, but I'm very pleased with myself. Over probably a message, perhaps, that's been received.
Was this just after Janoi had a whiff? Was that game?
This is I know this picture. This is pre-match, and I think you just got off the phone with Warren Page. I think I just sort of zoomed up and I just took the picture. But I think I think he hanged up on you or something like that or whatever. So
I think I hung up on him.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. And was very pleased with myself for doing so.
He would not have liked that.
That's why I did it.
This Warren picture, Page, our photographer. No one's going to know who Warren Page is.
This picture makes me happy because, again, I referred earlier to you being happy about the pizza, but I think this might be the happiest I've ever seen you, Hutchie. This is at Bracknell, and this is a still from the video you and Stu did. what was this? Wings and Tings, wasn't it? You were a huge fan of.
Yeah, they were built up before the game, weren't they? we spent weeks talking about Wings and Tings, and we got to try some, and they were delicious. It's a bit of a look of love at Stu there from me. I'm not really looking at the wings.
You just look so content in this picture. It's lovely.
Mm.
Like this is life. And also as part of your relationship, your bond, obviously your post-match reaction videos became very popular. And at one time during this period, you had a cameo from someone else.
Mr. Cook.
I hope they're speaking well about us tonight. Good night.
That was good timing.
When was that? That was that when they tonked Pompey, wasn't it? That one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any memories?
I like how Stu brought him in there.
Ah, yeah.
Mr. Cook. You did well to spot him. Kind of. Was that like kind of in the camera? Did you spot him?
I don't know. Maybe just in the periphery. I'm not sure. That was 4-0. 4-0 at Portsmouth. 4-1 at Wickham, not around that time as well. Who could have thought that a few weeks later we'd be having a change of manager?
Yeah. Right then. I love this picture. This is taken by Turbo Sailor Mike Turbot. And I think it's the best picture ever taken of you two together. Black and white for Moody. I don't know where this is. It's a lovely picture.
Fleetwood, I believe.
Oh, nice.
Mike has a knack of taking pictures of you and I together at Fleetwood, doesn't he? There's been a few over the years. I guess that Mike's probably been at every Ipswich game at Fleetwood. It feels like his venue. Yeah, it's a lovely picture.
And just one last one, because then we can have a chat. It's the last day. Sorry, Ross, again. I forgot this didn't fit the screen. Sorry. So this is the boys after the final game at Fleetwood. At this point, no one really knew that Hutchie was leaving. Obviously, we knew. Hutchie, you knew this was going to be your last game covering town for us. I think I can see a little tear in the eye. I assume you're feeling quite emotional at that point, Hutchie.
Just eager to get home. It wasn't the day that any of us thought it was going to be, was it? Knowing we had 5 hours of driving to do. But yeah, like I think I'd probably look back on it with more sort of emotion than I felt at the time. Business needed to be done. Had a job to do on that day. But yeah, that was a nice picture in the sun at Fleetwood with the travelling boys to round things off.
And what a way to sign off this season as well, Hutchie. Couldn't have planned that much better. Right, I've got one more thing I need to show you, but I want to leave that for a little bit because there's one more thing I want to do, Hutchie. We're going to do a final mailbag with you. So I need you to sing, please.
My wife's asleep. She's on nights next door. It's going to be muted, but it's also going to have full beans given to it. Okay. Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Mark, Andy, Stu and Ross to dip into the mailbag. Who's going to take this on?
Well, you say there it's going to be us all dipping into the mailbag, Hutchie, but in essence, it's just going to be you because you're going to be answering the questions. So we've each got two questions for you from ourselves. You choose the order. Who do you want to go first?
I'll start with you, Mark.
Okay. First question, I need some tunes. The question is this, Archie. Who won the Milka Cup?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would.
Turns out the final was played last night.
Oh.
So this is a very, very good time of asking. Do you want to know Ipswich's path? how Ipswich got on, and then
how did they get on? Yeah.
So, as you will all remember, Ipswich were drawn in a group with KUPS of Finland, FK Jablonec and Rashov Shestakova of Poland. Town beat Jablonec 4-0, won 5-2 at Rashov Shestakova in the first two group games. They lost to KUPS in the third one, but they put the kids out. They'd already qualified. Path through to the last 16 secured. Once there, they were drawn to face B36 Torshavn of the Faroe Islands. And wow, what a cracker this was. They won 6-5 after extra time.
Wow.
three goals scored in extra time to win that one and progress through to the last eight, where they were drawn with 1860 Munich of Germany. 0-0 at Portman Road in the first leg turned into a 3-0 away win in Bavaria to book a spot in the semi-finals, where they were drawn to face Vikingur.
Oh, come on, the Vikingur boys. Head versus heart.
Of Iceland. And it didn't go very well. Ipswich Town were beaten 5-2 on aggregate by Vikingur, meaning the Icelanders. Yeah, meaning it was the Icelanders celebrating on the Portman Road pitch, heading to Turkey to Bursaspor Stadium for the final, where they faced KUPS of Finland.
Cups.
Went to extra time again. And Henri Toivomäki scored in extra time for the Finnish side, KUPS, to win 3-2 and claim the Milka Cup.
How deflating. So Tam went out in the semi-finals and then the Vikinger boys couldn't bring it home. Well, there we go. For all of you asking, that was one of the key questions people wanted to know, who won the Milka. So we've done that now. Pick another question, Hutchie.
Go Ross.
Oh, God.
Have you thought of any?
I have. Pineapple pizza. I'm joking. I don't know if I may steal Stu's question here, but what are you going to miss most with working with Stu?
Make him cry. Come on.
Of working with Stu, particularly. Yeah. I mean, it would be quite bold of him to ask, what are you going to miss most about me?
Yeah.
Is his question. What am I going to miss most about Stu? Now you're asking me. The worst thing about doing this job, and I've done it elsewhere previously, the worst thing about it is kind of not having been able to go and watch football with my dad and my brother, which is kind of how I grew up watching football for years. And I knew that going into this work would kind of end that. And I've really struggled. That's made me consider whether I should be doing this at times. But I kind of got a new football buddy with Stu. I'd never had another kind of football watching buddy before. And we've watched hundreds of football matches together in a very different way. We're obviously working and we're watching it in quite an analytical, although our conversations have strayed, particularly during the end of the season, just after Paul Cook took over. Some of our conversations, if they accidentally got picked up on like iFollow or something, would have been insane. But I'm going to miss watching football with Stu, because I think we'll be watching the same games, but we won't be doing it together anymore. And that and the travelling was kind of like a new, sort of just a new way of doing it, and I've really enjoyed that, and I'll miss that a lot.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You want something funnier?
Absolutely not. No, I like it. Good. We're all about emotions here, aren't we?
Stu, you can ask a question.
Will you be cross if on the first day at Portman Road, when I bump into you and you're all suited and booted, I go, "Oh, football friends!" When you're amongst all of your new friends and you've forgotten about me, Will you be annoyed with me?
There are a number of things I've prepared myself for. That is one of them. There are a few others that I'll keep to myself so as to not encourage any of you or anybody else for that matter. But I'll let you off because I know it's coming.
Okay.
And it will still be funny. We'll both find it absolutely hilarious when you do it, won't we? So I look forward to that day.
We should say that Hutchie is part of the new job. Gets a tailored suit thrown in, which he has to wear on match days. And you probably know from the history of this podcast, Hutchie does not like getting dressed up formally. So enjoy that. Don't tease him for it. If you see him next season at Portman Road, he'll be there every game. So absolutely do not tease him for the suited and booted look that he's going to be bringing. So look forward to that. Hutchie, you've got three more questions. Who do you want to ask next?
Let's keep going in the order that we were. We'll go
okay.
We'll go back to you, Mark.
Hutchie, this is your last day. It's not actually technically your last day. You're under contract until May the 30th, and don't you forget it. But for the purpose of this podcast, it's your last day. What would you say to yourself now on your last day if you go back and speak to Hutchie on your first day in the job?
Don't get fixated on La Beast.
It's not worth it.
Because it's just simply not worth it. Smile a bit more on camera in the early days. It took me about 3 years to do that. I looked thoroughly, I was very stone faced at the start. Needed a bit of encouragement there. I'll do that. Smile more.
Nice. Rossi.
Two words. Honda Jazz. You're gonna miss it?
It's still parked outside my house, mate. And if nobody comes to get the keys back, I'm keeping it. So, no, I'm gonna be ragging that thing around town until someone bothers to come and get it. There's been some issues over custody of it going forward. So, unless those are sorted, I will be keeping it. And might hit up mebuyanycar.com. Might run it. So, no, I won't miss it because it's going nowhere.
I think if you put that on the market, you know, like you have these kind of iconic vehicles like the three-wheeler from Only Fools and Horses and the DeLorean from Back to the Future, which obviously actually you've never seen and won't know about. But the Honda Jazz has taken on a life of its own. And I wonder if you could put it on the market as the Honda Jazz that the KOA boys drive around in, up the value.
Yeah, this isn't the version of the Honda Jazz that smashed up the deer. This is the next one. The new generation. But yeah, and it comes complete with some Ross Hall's rubbish in the back that just ends up in the little side pockets every time, doesn't it, mate?
Yes, it does. Although I didn't travel. That's one sad thing about the Fleetwood game. I didn't travel back with you boys because it was all Brenner from New Suffolk and Warren, the photographer, sort of filled those spots. So I didn't have that final sort of
mate.
Game.
You didn't miss anything.
That was a very quiet journey home.
Somber.
Right then, Stewie, you get the honour of the final ever mailbag question, which your work husband, your colleague, your best mate, your confidant will ever take. Don't waste it.
Don't waste it. Hutchie, I know you like this. Yorkshire puddings at Christmas?
No,
I don't know if we've ever covered that. Pineapple on pizza? Some unexplored avenues. No.
No.
I don't know what to ask as a last question. Can we still be mates?
If you want.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Oh, that's sweet. Right then, we've done almost 75 minutes of a ridiculously self-indulgent podcast looking back at Hutchie's time with us. There's one more thing I want to play, Hutchie, and then we're going to do an outro. So this is your final show. When I told a certain someone we're going to be doing this, they wanted to record a message for it. And here is that message. Enjoy it now.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick note to say thank you for all your work from you and Stu over the season, supporting the club, following us up and down the country. You've done an incredible job. You've covered a lot of miles with us. We've seen you at a lot of service stations. And I have to say, whilst I'm extremely disappointed that you're leaving EADT, I'm delighted that you're joining us. Look forward to seeing you on the 1st of June. I'd say get some rest, but I don't think you're going to get any. Be ready for a lot of hard work. Be ready to look at this from a different angle. We're looking forward to you joining us. We're looking forward to you bringing your skill set and your professionalism to Marcus and his team. But for now, EADT, yourself, Stuart, the colleagues who work with you, thanks for all your support over what's been a truly wonderful season.
How do you feel about that, Hutchie? That's your new boss, Mr. Relentless himself.
I wasn't expecting that. Nice little trophy peeking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
There in there.
Little Nespresso machine as well, I notice. How the other half live.
Yeah, I don't know if there's access to that. I don't know if that if this comes with access to that or not. I wasn't expecting that at all.
I know you weren't. That's what we got.
Keep bringing up professionalism, mate.
Yeah, he's clearly never listened to the pod, has he?
I like the way he basically doesn't know anyone else other than you and Stu, which, to be fair, I suppose is okay. But it was nice of Mark to do that. Thank you for doing that, Mark. Take good care of our friend Andy. Work him to the bone. You talk about being relentless and starting at 6 a.m. every day. Make sure Andy does that. Make sure he wears a suit on match days. And make sure he's still allowed to talk to us. That'd be lovely, if that's possible. So, friends, we come to the end of Hutchie's last ever show. Stu, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. Can you promise you won't ban us?
I'm not sure that's in my... I'm not sure that's my decision.
Okay. So
just behave yourself.
All right.
I'll do my shambolic outro now. This is the Kings of Anglia podcast you've been listening to. Please support our sponsors. Use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery. All that excellent club are there. Hutchie, obviously you will be returning all your Manscaped stuff. That does not belong to you. That belongs to the show. So we're going to need all your trimmers back.
We're going to put that up as a competition for one lucky listener.
Actually, that goes straight to your replacement when we announce them. your used trimmers. That's the prize they'll get.
Oh man.
I'm deadly serious.
Yeah, come and get them. I've got a couple of them need a new blade here and
when
there.
I meet you to collect your laptop, I want everything related to Manscaped. I'll also be taking back your ginger pickle jumper as well. That's our other sponsor. If you need help with your digital marketing, your SEO, your Google ads, Google ginger pickle and get involved with Tony Southgate and the boys. And obviously we're wearing our KOA merch. Me and Hutchie have got the hoodies on, which are among the best-selling items. Go and get yourself clobbered up at the official KOA merch shop. And also, friends, leave us a 5-star review. We've not had one of those in a while. That helps us greatly with the visibility in the charts. Right then, friends. End of the show time. Last words to Hutchie. Rossi, what do you want to say to Hutchie? You are obviously going to see him again, hopefully. But what would you like to say in this virtual forum for the last time?
Going to miss you, boy. Going to miss you. it's like on old school, the film. Going to miss you, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
My boy, boy. It's been a pleasure welcoming you, my friend. And yeah, I'm sure I'll see you at Portland Road, service stations, away grounds, in the championship. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your patience with video content and all that sort of stuff. It's been a pleasure filming you and Stu doing so many different content. So yeah, see you around.
Watto. Watto. Come on. Final message. Let's see if we can get some tears out this stone.
Good luck, friend. Good luck.
There we go.
To the point.
Hutchie, I'd like to say you've been extraordinary. What you've done with us. It's been a genuine pleasure working with you. You've brought so much to the dynamic of the team. You read things that the rest of us don't have. You've got that kind of insight over and above, looking at things in a different way, which has really been really helpful. You've got that kind of calm demeanor, which I found very useful at times. Has been a good counsel to me as a confidant, and I've wanted to explode. You talked me down off the ledge a few times, which is good. It's often said that this job is like nonsense. For us to get paid for doing this is crazy, and it's a huge privilege. But over the 25 years I've been doing this job, these last 5.5 years genuinely have been the best of my career. And I think probably a lot of you would feel the same way. That kind of chemistry that we have, we've built, is not something you find very often. So I'm really going to miss you being part of this. And you will always, obviously, remain a king. But I want to finish with the words I think you once used to sum up the end of the Good Luck Shoes, which was something on the lines of, don't be sad that it's over. Smile that it happened. And that's what I'd like to take from this whole thing. Thank you, friend. Thank you so much from all of us. You are, and will always remain, a king. And now, Hutchie, the only way to end this show is, of course, with your final thoughts.
Just thank you, really. Thank you. Thank you to you guys. This is the job that I want, like writing for the newspaper here was the job that I wanted, rather than a trout farmer, the job that I actually wanted from the age of probably like 13. So to be able to do that for 6 years has been brilliant. But I think you're right. Like when I started that job, it wasn't to kind of be a twice or three times a week podcaster. And that is something that's been very different about this job to any other one that I've ever had, and any other job that I probably ever will have, was being able to do this. And that's where the thank you to all the people that have listened to us over the hundreds of these that we've done comes in as well, because it's really made this sort of a wonderful experience. It's completely changed the way that I've, and we all have worked, got to know so many of our listeners in so many different ways over the years, whether it's Daryl sending a pizza, whether it's Stefan around the world messaging us from weird and wonderful locations, Mike just coming out from behind a corner at Fleetwood with a camera, taking pictures. So many that people come up to Stu and I in press boxes to say hello. Some recently kind of in home ends that they shouldn't have been in. A gentleman at Derby came up to us, and he shouldn't have been in the home end at Derby, but was there to watch Ipswich and just came and a little nod just to say hello. And that's been really wonderful, just getting to know so many people over so many years we're doing this. So massive thank you, really. I'm gonna really miss doing it. I'll still be listening. And yeah, just thank you, and I'll see you around.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.